This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Don't miss it tonight. We have the exclusive reveal of the next college football playoff top 25 rankings. Reese and the crew breaking them down top to bottom. Should be a very interesting night. Starts 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. I can tell you that the arguing has continued all through that break. Literally, as we were coming out of commercial, I had to yell, "Everyone, shut up. We're coming back." So I promise you a lot of arguing in this hour of Get Up that comes to you live, as always, from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Here it comes. We are getting up with a Monday night message. Brady's Bucks are back. Is Tampa now the team to beat? And how about the team they beat last night? We'll talk about it all. Then, the D in Big D stands for down in the dumps. With no time to rest, is there cause for concern for these Cowboys headed to Thanksgiving? Spoiler alert, the answer may be yes. And then, Aaron, he's got a toe. He's coming off a heartbreaking loss. But those aren't even the bad news in Green Bay. You'll hear what is as we get up with you, starting right now with the game of the night. Jeff Saturday, Bucks coming off two straight losses. Giants coming off a bye. What would we see? We would see a fired up Tom Brady, and he was sharp. First drive, 5 for 5, ends with this.
Yeah, how pretty is this? Throw the ball 1 yard behind the line of scrimmage and let him do the rest of the work. Take that thing and score, baby.
Chris Godwin taking it in. Early second quarter now. Is this Tom Brady or is it Lamar Jackson?
Look at the wheels, Greeny. Look at the athleticism. Hurdled somebody and then the high kick slide like Pee Wee baseball. I see you, Tom Brady.
Tampa would kick a field goal. So they're up 10-3. Next Tampa drive. This is going to be an interception. This was not really Brady's fault.
No, slot got in the way of Evans being able to see the ball. Again, another interception that really has nothing to do with Tom Brady. That's disappointing.
But it sets the Giants up with an excellent opportunity to, among other things, make Jeff's dreams come true. Big man touchdown.
You can't beat it. Look at this catch. He had to adjust to the ball in the air. I keep telling everybody, offensive linemen can do what everybody else can do, only a little bit better. Look at the athleticism with the jump. That's why we have combines, Mike. That's why we have
them. You needed all 6'5" there. Now, wait a second. Look at the time Brady has.
He's baking cookies back there, Greeny. I mean, Thanksgiving holiday. Look, Gronk's going to get wide open. You hold the ball for 10 seconds. How pretty a play is that?
Gronk was back and had a big night, but they would punch it in with Rojo down by the goal line.
I like this. Leftwich finally getting back a little bit to that run game. I like to see it even a little bit more, but Rojo taking on the edge for the score. Big time play.
Bucks up 17-10 at the half. Now, third quarter. Giants going for it on a 4th-and-1, and this is a mess.
Wheels are falling off. Devin White on a late blitz, unaccounted for defender. Jones just throws it into the dirt.
And the Bucks turn that into this. Mike Evans is a touchdown.
You think he's going to hold on to this ball? He tried to get Brady's away.
He actually does. It's his 72nd career touchdown, which is the most in Buccaneers history. They're up 2 touchdowns and the ensuing Giants drive. This is just awful.
This is terrible. I love it because a big man, again, is being highlighted. Look at the athleticism and nose guard making an interception.
He threw it to a defensive lineman who was sitting down. And then here's another interception. This one's a tip ball. I don't even know what to say at some point.
I love that he's on the ground.
For the Giants, it was just an ugly night. For Tampa, Tom, a win they needed.
We executed a little bit better. Still left a few out there, I thought, but better. We've been playing better at home, so good win for our team. Obviously, losing 2 straight, that really sucks in the NFL. But glad it's not 3 straight.
Thanksgiving turkey's gonna taste a hell of a lot better. I don't drink wine, or I would. That would taste pretty good too.
All right, I'm not 100% sure anyone's buying that. But one way or the other, we're going to spend a little time on the Bucks here because we really have been yelling and screaming at each other about the Giants. But, Marcus, let us start with you on that. There was some concern, some consternation in Tampa Bay. What did you see last night? What is this team right now?
Yeah, I think it's what Tom said, the execution. And when you look at this offense for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you see a lot of remnants of what helped them make a Super Bowl run. It was heavy check down. It was heavy get the ball out of your hands. And then allowing that run game and those quick, easy access throws to get things open and going downfield. 10 guys caught passes in this football game. We've talked about this skill position group. We've talked about how many weapons that they have. Brake got involved. O.J. Howard caught up the first pass. Grunk being back caught caught passes. Godwin, Evans. Like, listen, man, it's an embarrassment of riches, and Antonio Brown ain't even playing. So this offense operation is why people should be worried. Because if they get back to that, obviously with Tom Brady playing quarterback, you know that this will travel. This will carry for the rest of the season. Now it's about doing it against a really good football team because the Giants ain't that.
All right, so let's get to them. So the top of the NFC is an interesting one. Brady and the Bucs certainly belong right in there in the conversation with Arizona, Dallas, Green Bay, whoever else it is that you like. We'll put them to the side for the moment. We've talked a lot about them. Let's get to the Giants. First, I want you to hear from Joe Judge last night. He delivered after their loss, in which they looked just awful coming off a bye. He delivered a message to the fans taking responsibility for the loss.
I'm not asking you to be patient. That's not your job. I'm telling you, we're going to put something on the field you can be proud of. Okay, that's on my name. Okay, you understand that? That's on my name. All right, I'm the leader of this team. I'm in charge of this team. That's on me. I don't point fingers. I don't make excuses. All right, we're going to get this right.
Okay, so he said that. Jeff, why are you so turned off by that?
It's brutal to watch. I mean, he worked for Bill Belichick, right?
Yeah.
Does Bill Belichick ever do this to the fans? No. I mean, like, calm it down, bro. Like, you had 2 weeks to prepare. Your best play was to an offensive tackle out of position for the touchdown. I mean, it was an atrocious display of football. And that you're up there talking about, you don't have to be patient. Like, why even address it? Hey, man, we played like trash. We got boat raced in Tampa. We have to be a better football team. I'll see you next week. Whoever they play next, moving on to whoever. Like, find that. Because at this point, all you're doing is saying, this is all my name. You had 2 weeks, and this is as good as it looks. It's awful. And so just don't do it. Avoid it. Less is more, right? Less is more to me in this situation. I just thought it was ill-timed at best.
And there is so much talk around the Giants. For people across the country, we're here in New York, so we hear it all the time. So much talk from, is the general manager going to be on his way out? Is the quarterback, are they making a decision now to move on from him potentially at the end of this year? How about the status of the coach? You covered the Giants for years. You know the ins and outs. What is your sense?
Well, ownership is crushed at where the team is right now, right? It hasn't been good in years. It hasn't really been relevant. That's got to hurt even worse, right? I mean, this is a proud flagship franchise that is not one of the factors in the league and hasn't been for a long time. So how do they get it right? I do not get the sense they want to fire a head coach again after just 2 years. I mean, they've done that multiple times, right? McAdoo almost 2 years, Pat Shurmur 2 years. This is two for Judge. They would like to ride with him. They believe in him. The GM, obviously they believe in him too, but the draft record is what it is. It's not producing. We have a game last night on national TV where it looks like the other team has more players on the field. I mean, it's that bad. So and in terms of the quarterback, they have to decide by the first week of May on the fifth-year option for 2023, which would be fully guaranteed money. At this point, based on what we're seeing, it would be a bit of a surprise if they decided to go that way. And if that means they have to address quarterback. But we were just talking about the Eagles and their three first-round picks.
Right.
Giants have two.
They do. They have two first-round picks, and one of them is from Chicago. So those do both figure to be relatively high first-round picks this year if things continue to go that way. Marcus, let's focus in on the quarterback for a minute because so much of this has been about Daniel Jones. And while they've had injuries, they have put pieces around him. What are you seeing in him right now?
Look, man, you can see some of the talent with Daniel Jones. I mean, it's obvious. The dude is he's very athletic. He makes some throws at times where you're like, man, that is the guy that you want on a consistent basis. Problem is in the NFL, y'all, and everybody on the panel knows this, inconsistency is your worst nightmare in the NFL. Inconsistency, not knowing what type of guy you're going to get each and every Sunday. And I hate the way that Daniel Jones plays scared or almost in a panic at times. Like, dude, be an athlete. Don't throw the damn ball to a defensive lineman. Be an athlete. Make a play. Go off script at times. We just watched Justin Herbert, who's an athletic quarterback, rush for 90 yards when things broke down against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sometimes I think Daniel Jones is just afraid to go make a play. Sometimes I think he's trying to think about being a good quarterback from the pocket as opposed to just letting the game ride out. Bro, if you got to take off, take off. But we're that's neither here nor there now. He's an inconsistent football player and a turnover machine. And you cannot win in this league with that.
Mike T., if you were in a decision-making capacity there, what would you be thinking?
I'd build the whole thing around Joe Judge. When you hired him 2 years ago, he was a young coach with a lot of upside. He almost became the head coach at Mississippi State. And if you believed in your process there, if you were the Tishes and the Maras, and Jeff, I know it hasn't been perfect. Every press conference isn't perfect. I would take him and those two first-round picks, and I would go try to get the best general manager I could. Because to me, if you believed in him then, give him more time to develop.
How about the quarterback?
I'm not so sure anymore. I think Jalen Hurts right now, if I was comparing the two, I would take Jalen Hurts. And to Dan's point, I would take it all the way to next May before I made a decision.
The biggest indictment for me for Joe Judge is the Eagles are rebuilding with a brand new coach. They look 10 times the team that the New York Giants look after 2 years with Joe Judge. That should tell you something, right? They're fine. Whatever talent, quote, or non-talent they have a second-round quarterback who's now outplaying the eighth pick in the draft. Some of us got to do with coaching. Like, I get it, but, like, we put it on players. Let's put it on coaches as well equally. That would be the biggest indictment for me.
All right, it's a mess, and we will see where it winds up going. He was very noncommittal, Joe Judge was last night, by the way, about Jason Garrett, his offensive coordinator, even going forward. But they just came off a bye, so you think if they were going to make a change like that, they would have done it last week. Okay, so the NFL weekend is now over. So let's look back on it, and let's do awesome, awful, or awkward. Jeff, what is something awesome you saw this week?
I mean, this is as easy as it gets for me. The big man touchdown, right? I mean, big six. We can come up with a number of different names. Again, I say it every week. Offensive linemen showing you we can do everything, only a little bit better than the other guys on the squad. This is a thing of beauty. We bail out our quarterback. He throws a bad ball. We still go up, climb the ladder, and snatch that thing down. It's a thing of beauty. That's why we call it awesome.
Did you say it's a fix?
Six.
I like that. Dan, what was something you saw that was awful?
The Chicago Bears had lost 4 games in a row. They're playing at home. They take the lead, a 4-point lead on Baltimore with a minute and a half to go. And Baltimore's quarterback is Tyler Huntley. They just watch him go right down the field for the game-winning touchdown. Just awful. A 5th straight loss for Chicago. A miserable, miserable season there. They may not even have Justin Fields for the next couple weeks if he's hurt. So awful. Awful. Everything awful.
They play at Detroit on Thanksgiving Day, by the way. So they're playing in 2 days. Swagoo, what was something awkward you saw this week?
It was Baker Mayfield clapping back at the fans, man. Like, I just hated the fact that he let every one of those fans know that they can get to it. And he did not handle that professionally. Look, man, you can feel how you feel. We've all been there where we like, man, these fans tripping. But ultimately, as the face of the franchise and the quarterback and the first overall draft pick, man, don't let these people know they getting to you. But this is Baker's MO. He takes a personal vendetta against things he can't control. He think he got booed in that game. Watch next week if they don't play well.
That's exactly right. We played you that sound a little earlier. If you're just joining us, we will get back into it because it inspired great debate here. All right, as we continue, the Cowboys, did their greatest strength turn into their biggest issue in Kansas City? What happened to Dak's team? Is this a sign of trouble to come? Plus, Aaron Rodgers, his toe could be the least of his problems. Big news in Green Bay that could change everything. It's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Number one, Gonzaga. Timmy! Wow!
Crazy. They're hungry to be stars.
More on the attack and slams it down.
When the lights go out, my light will only shine brighter.
Back on Get Up, and we have sneaky bad news coming out of Green Bay. Elgton Jenkins suffered a season-ending torn ACL during Sunday's loss to the Vikings. This is a very valuable player. He was a Pro Bowl left guard last season. He's been playing left tackle this year in the absence of David Bakhtiari and has been playing great protecting Aaron Rodgers' blind side. This is a Packers offensive line that's been great this season. You see the numbers. They're third in the league in pass block and sixth in the league in run block win rate. And so sometimes we will hear a name like this that is not a household name. And you say, well, how big a deal is that really? Jeff Saturday, why is this such a big deal for Aaron Rodgers?
This is massive. Here is an offensive lineman that can literally play all five positions, from right tackle to left tackle and all in between. And not only can he play him, he's very effective. You just heard he was a Pro Bowl left guard last season. He's played at a Pro Bowl level at left tackle in for David Bakhtiari. So when you're talking about how valuable this guy is, if they would have bounced him in at left guard when Bakhtiari comes back, the interior portion of that line gets better immediately. And then if anybody else were to go down, he could bump in for those guys. So when we talk about how important pieces are in the NFL, this is a massive piece that will go under-discussed because he's an offensive lineman. But I'm telling you, man, this guy is a true player. He's a super intelligent player. It's a big loss.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, they get the Rams this week coming off a bye. So that's obviously a tough and dangerous pass rushing team. Yeah. David Bakhtiari, who was the star left tackle who got hurt in the playoffs last year, how close is he to coming back?
They keep saying he's close, but he doesn't come back. I think there's hope now that it's after the bye week. They have the bye next week after they play this week, but it doesn't sound like he'll be back in time for this week's game. But yeah, they definitely need him. Like, I mean, how many times do we have the conversation, what's wrong with X team?
Right.
And the answer is, well, the offensive line fell apart.
Right.
And that is almost always the answer when a team has struggles on offense. And Green Bay's had a very, very good one. But last year when Bakhtiari got hurt late, that definitely showed up against the Bucs in the playoffs.
And so we'll see. And so, Marcus, coming off a weekend in which the Packers defense, which had been playing great, got torched by Justin Jefferson in Minnesota, and now they lose their left tackle, and who knows how that, how would you assess the state of Aaron Rodgers' Green Bay Packers right now?
Yeah, this one is tough, G, because from what everything Jeff and Grimes just talked about, offensive line issues, man. Listen, Jeff Saturday is up there. I'm a former D lineman, but we all know the offensive line is the most important unit on any football team from peewee to the pros. If you don't have one, you ain't going to win games. That's
right.
The bottom line. And when you lose guys like this, which offers you flexibility, that becomes a problem, especially when we talk about a team in the playoffs. Because the playoffs come down to this, y'all, and we've watched it year after year. The playoffs come down to, can you sustain a drive either at the end of a game or at the end of halftime that's going to keep you in the game or win the game for you? And your offensive line is the biggest part in getting that done. And then when you look at the defense, listen, man, it's hard to play defense in the NFL. I'm not going to go crazy on the Green Bay Packers for giving up what they gave up to the Minnesota Vikings. What I will say is this, though. They are going to have to go back to performing like they performed before that Minnesota Vikings game with all of the attrition that's going on with them from an offensive standpoint. Now, Aaron Rodgers is still the quarterback, and Aaron Jones will be back, and hopefully this team can get it going. Devontae is still out there. I'm not overly concerned about the Green Bay Packers when it comes to if they can be in ball games. I'm concerned about this offensive line situation in crunch time moments when you need a drive to win the football game,
right,
as we see so many times when good teams match up against each other.
I'm looking at their schedule here. They have the Rams this week. Then they have their bye. They still have the Ravens to play along the way. The Browns, we'll see what that means. So sort of interesting and a mixed bag. But right now, speaking of offensive line that needs help, it is time for Swagoo's security.
I know some people in this league need security. Everybody ain't getting dumped around here. This long arm of the law. He needs a new security guard. They better find somebody quick. Athleticism is a trait of being a security guard. And when you don't have none, you get your quarterback killed by a little guy. Like when the big dude run up on one of the little dudes and then you find out he a damn MMA fighter and you get beat to sleep. You need new security.
All right, we call it Swagoo's Revenge. Earlier today, Jeff Saturday handed out pancakes, and now it is time for Marcus to hand out security. Big fella, take it away.
All right, man, look, let's start it off. This one hurt my heart so damn bad, G, but it got to go with Chris Jones. Chris Jones went around the whole damn club saying, you can't stop me from going to the bathroom. I'm going to the back of the kitchen. I'm going where y'all count the money at, and I'm taking all of it. And it don't matter if you got a security guard at every point of entry, I'm going to punch them all in the face and go sack your quarterback. And that's exactly what he did. Zach Martin, who is one of the best security guards to ever play the game, he was like, nope, I don't care about who your security is. I done told you, I'm going where I want to go. Chris Jones, wave high to the camera, even though you did it to my team. The next one, Joey Bosa said, big man, I know you can't move and your security is bad, so I'm going to go ahead and take care of business. And listen, when you are trying to protect one of the older guards, when you are trying to protect the guy that's been there for a long time, you surround him with guys that you think is going to protect him because he can't move well. Joey Bosa said, nope, I got to go ahead and get mine. And I know Big Ben can't get out of the way. He can't provide his own security. So I'm going to chew him up. And Lord have mercy, Jeff Saturday, you like to throw them pancakes, and I like to throw them when people come into your house and eat your damn pancakes. Kenny Clark, I don't know what got into you. I don't know what this man said about your mama. I don't know what he said about your kids. But evidently, he said something that brought out superpowers in you. Cole, my bad, player. But this right here, when this happened on the football field, it shall get pointed out. This is a you need new security. Matter of fact, Cole can't ever be a security guard again.
Never.
Jeff Saturday. His security guard privileges have been revoked. Kenny Clark, don't do that to people. It's the holidays, man. Be nice.
When he starts falling back like that, like, what is that feeling like?
Panic. Sheer panic. And here's what you know, that your skull might be the reason for a sack or a fumble because you have completely gotten dominated. It's the worst feeling in the world. I'm just letting y'all know, when that man's hand gets up under your chest plate like that and he's walking you back, he's imposed his will. You got no answer. Hey, listen, that card's got to get revoked,
God,
bro. No more application rescinded. He's got to be out. Can't do it, Cole. Can't have it.
The pancakes and the security, a Tuesday staple of Get Up here on ESPN. All right, coming up, we touched on it before. Baker is hearing the boos, and he doesn't like it. You'll hear what he said about the fans and what we think of it coming up in a moment. And then we have got the showdown. Sneaky Hembo and Graziano, here's today's question. So Tom Brady is the all-time leader in 20-point wins with 84. They had another one last night. Which quarterback ranks second all-time 20-point wins? I like the question. See if Graz has it next. Get up on ESPN.
delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and the showdown is here. It is Hembo versus Graziano. Tom Brady and the Bucs, they blew out the Giants last night. Brady's the all-time leader in 20-point wins with 84. Which quarterback has the second most?
I don't know. It's got to have to be a guess. So I'm thinking about who else. No one's close to him on the all-time wins list, but who's behind him? It's guys like Favre and Peyton. I'm going to say Peyton Manning. It's a guess.
It's close. You forgot one guy who's on that list, Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Drew Brees is next. It's Brees, then Favre, then Peyton Manning on the list, all bunched close together. Mm-hmm. Give an indication of just the distance. Brady has 84 of them, and Brees is next with 52, so it's not particularly close. All right, Dan, it's a reasonable question. It's a reasonable question. Graziano's lead is 6 on the year. In the meantime, let's show you how Brady's team won last night against the Giants. Jeff Saturday, jump in here with me on this one. Brady and the Bucs at home taking on Big Blue, and they would start fast. Their very first drive, Brady was 5 for 5, and it ends in this.
Yeah, nice little wide receiver screen. Takes it, breaks 2 tackles. Easiest pass of the night for Tom Brady.
And that goes in there from Chris Godwin. Then early second quarter, Brady. Oh, look at him take off and run.
Look at the hurdle, the athleticism, the high kick slide like peewee baseball. That's what I love, Tom Brady.
Tampa up 10-3. Now it's Brady looking for Gronk. Look at the time.
Baking Thanksgiving grub right there. Look at him. Gronk comes wide open after the 10-second blocking performance by that offensive line.
That would lead to this now. This is Brady looking for Mike Evans in the end zone, and he's got him.
You think he's going to keep that ball? He's trying to give his one away, right?
Yeah, he gave away Brady's one valuable ball, but this one was a record setter as well for him. And then we got Daniel Jones. That's the second of 2 interceptions that he threw in the second half. He had a very rough night, and it is the Bucs, as I told you, they win it by 20, and so Brady extending that record. In the meantime, let's do overreactions with Dan Graziano. I will make a statement. You tell me if it's an overreaction. The Chiefs defense will carry them to the Super Bowl. Overreaction?
I say overreaction because I don't see them playing at this level for months and months, but I do think the offense will start to play better, so it could be that Mahomes returns to form and helps carry them to the Super Bowl. They'll look back on this midseason stretch of great defense and say that was one of the keys.
Okay, I like it. Next one. If I were to say Jonathan Taylor is in the MVP conversation, would that be an overreaction?
It would not. I mean, look at this guy. First of all, who's the quarterback that has separated himself in that conversation right now? At this point, there isn't one. And what the Colts are doing right now, you watch them play, he's obviously the central character in the story, dominating people. I think he has to be in the conversation.
All right, and then one more. If someone were to say the Browns need to shut down Baker Mayfield for his own good and theirs, what would you say?
Well, I would say don't tell Baker because he'd get mad like he did at the fans. But I would say not an overreaction. I mean, look, he's obviously and admittedly very banged up. I think if you're the Browns, especially with the bye week coming up the week after this one, it has to be tempting to say, look, a fully healthy Case Keenum might give us as good or better shot to win a game right now than this banged up version of Baker Mayfield.
Well, meanwhile, Baker skipped talking to reporters after their game on Sunday that felt more like a loss than a win, even though they beat the Lions by 3 points. He did talk yesterday about hearing boos from the fans. And again, here's what he said.
Those are probably the same fans that won't be quiet while we're on offense and trying to operate, so don't really care.
you looked frustrated coming off the field yesterday. Is that why we didn't hear from you?
Yeah, I was frustrated, among other things. I've never dodged any questions or hid away from that, so it's not about that. Just frustrated, removed emotions and all that from it. Decided it was best to wait.
I think that's what surprised us all, Baker, is that you pride yourself on being accountable.
Not one part of that's not being accountable. I'd be the first to tell you I played like so. It's not about accountable, and I don't owe you guys any of that. I owe that to my teammates, and I talk to them, so that's what matters.
Okay, so there's all of that. By the way, they have the Ravens this week in what shapes up to be a huge game at Baltimore. Mike Tannenbaum, as he was saying that about the fans, I saw you going like this. What was your reaction to it?
You're the battlefield commander. You're the CEO. You have to absorb criticism and deflect praise, and that stinks because if you want to be the CEO of this team, that has to be dramatically better. Coach Parcells always talked about winning is the great deodorant. It covers up what stinks, and his behavior stinks because his wife's on social media. He's calling out the fans. Go be a great quarterback. We learned 2 weeks ago, Greeny, the Cleveland Browns going to Foxborough without Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Great opportunity to say, hey, I'm the CEO of this team. I'm the leader. I'm going to show greatness. Last 2 weeks, he's been not good enough. He's not playing good enough. And don't call out the fans. Don't call out the media. Go inspire greatness in your locker room, and you're not doing that right now.
So we had a good debate about this earlier, and I'm more than willing to go back into it. But, Marcus, let me ask you a question in general about football. This has always been my understanding, having covered the sport, but you're a player. If you're too hurt to play, you shouldn't be out there. If you're out there, you're not too hurt to play. And so the idea that maybe they need to take him off the field, I get it, he's a tough guy and he wants to be out there, but maybe they need to take his helmet away from him, because if the way he's playing is a function of the injuries, you can't expect him to say, I give here. Maybe they need to take him off the field. What do you think?
Gee, you crazy as hell, because you make sense. And don't nobody want nothing to make sense no more. Listen, man, the bottom line is this, bro. If the injuries are affecting you to the point where your performances are going to continue to look like this, and we've said it time and time again that Case Keenum is very capable, who's been with Stefanski, who understands the system and structure and how things work. And this is a team that doesn't ask their quarterback to go out and throw for 300 yards every game either. So it is more conducive to being able to go to Case Keenum until Baker gets fully healthy. Here's what I will say, because I'm hard on Baker. Y'all know that. Mm-hmm. I'll applaud him for his mentality. His mentality is, I got to go out here and show up for my football team, and I got to try to help us win. But, bruh, that ain't working. You are too injured, or you're not good enough to do what you need to do in order to help this team progress and win games. The other part of this, and why I'm so frustrated and agree with Mike Tannenbaum, didn't we already have this conversation about Baker Mayfield years ago, about just quieting the noise and not going in about things that are ancillary? Look, man, the bottom line is this, and my dad told me this when I got drafted. The NFL will be here. The NFL has been here 300 years before you got there, and they're going to be here 300 years after you leave. Those fans in those stadiums are going to be in Cleveland longer than Baker Mayfield. There are fans that were in New England before Tom Brady was the quarterback there, and they still sitting in them seats on Sundays while Mac Jones is the quarterback. Don't give that type of energy, bro. You will never win this. You won't win this going back and forth with the people that are sitting in those stands. Yeah, we all been frustrated with fans as players. We all felt like we got unjust criticism from fans. We all thought that they should acknowledge how tough and difficult it is to play this game when you're dealing with injuries. But when Baker get that energy and he's playing the way he's playing, and people already don't know if you're going to be consistent enough to be a quarterback, you are fighting a losing battle, fam. And that's what you got to stop doing, because this is the revert back to the old Baker Mayfield who we thought matured past that.
Let me get Jeff in here, because you seem to be on the other side. The lone voice on the other side.
I'm good. Listen, how quickly have we forgotten, Browns fans? We were 0-for. We're not a very good football team. We got 47 quarterbacks that have played in the last 5 years until Baker Mayfield. The dude's done pretty well. He took you to the playoffs. I mean, like, let's have a short. They're a 6-5 team that's in the AFC North. They won the game. He played poorly. By the way, this same Detroit team tied the Steelers the week before. I'm not saying he played well. What I am saying is, We are going in on Baker. The week before, Tom Brady threw two interceptions. They lost the game. He gave three words at his press conference, and if you don't think he was pissed, his countenance told you all you need to know and walked off. So I have heard my own quarterback tell fans, be quiet in the situation, whatever this is. It happens. It should not. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Listen, when you get into an argument with fans, I understand you're not going to win. But at the end of the day, this guy is playing with one arm, one leg, organs being moved around, all of those things. And when you look at me and tell me, oh, man, he shouldn't play because he's hurt. Every quarterback in the NFL that's worth their salt is going to get on that field until he absolutely cannot. Because let me tell you something. That's how you lead guys like me. If every fingernail you get torn, you come off the field, bro, I ain't following you into any kind of game. And I know when it gets hot, you're the first guy out. At least he's showing some stomach about what
he's
doing. Let
me get Danny in here. Go.
Absolutely. But, I mean, like, here's my issue with what he's saying. Mike T says winning is the best deodorant. Use the deodorant. They won the game. I mean, like, why not sit there at the press conference and go, look, guys, we won the game. I mean, like, I did everything I could. The point is to win the game. We came out ahead. I'll do better. But the fact of the matter is we were good enough today, so they can boo all they want.
Because grass.
It's a win.
Yeah, because grass.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Grass, to your point, that is what I'm talking about, man. Like, don't let that become the focus. Baker, we talking about this because Baker Mayfield said what he said. We ain't talking about this because Cleveland fans booed. Every fan base booed. Right. I done heard Tony Romo get booed in Dallas. And Tony didn't go up after the thing and be like, those are the same fans making noise when we try to come on the third down. Baker Mayfield made this an issue. Every fan base in the NFL has booed their quarterback. Every one of them.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
To Swagoo's point, there's one sign in New England that the players see on the way out. Ignore the noise. Everyone's dealing with it. So if you're Robert Saleh a week ago talking about Rex Ryan, ignore the noise. You want to be a head coach, a GM in this league, a quarterback, you have to ignore the noise. Yeah. If you're Baker Mayfield, it doesn't matter what the fans think. Just go lead your team. That's what matters.
They really are two separate and interesting conversations. One of them is about whether he's just too hurt to be a better option for them right now than Case Keenum, and the other is whether he's making his own life more complicated with the things that he's saying. I will leave it there for the moment. What a Thanksgiving week lineup we have coming up, by the way. You like sports? This is the place to be. Tomorrow night, we got Steph and the Warriors taking on the Sixers. That'll be game two of a really good doubleheader we have for you. Thanksgiving night, we have the Egg Bowl. That's Ole Miss against Mississippi State. Friday night on ABC, NHL action. Rangers, Bruins, rivals facing off. And then Saturday night, it's Bedlam, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Should be a fabulous weekend of sports here on the Family of Lineups. As we continue, the D in Big D stands for Down in the Dumps. Wait till you hear what Mike McCarthy had to say about the Cowboys offense. We'll tell you what we think next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and let's run the hurry up on a busy football day. Dan Graziano, what's the latest on Justin Fields for Thanksgiving?
Justin Fields left the game Sunday with an injury to his ribs. They ran some tests. Initial x-rays showed it came back negative, but they continue to run tests to see what the injury is and whether it's something he can play with. As you mentioned, they play in 2 days, so it's tough to imagine him being cleared in time to do that. Another guy plays in 2 days is the Saints running back Alvin Kamara, who has missed New Orleans' last two games due to a knee injury. Was listed as a non-participant in practice yesterday, which obviously does not bode well for his availability for a game two nights from now. And then the Dallas Cowboys, who always play on Thanksgiving, are dealing with some physical issues of their own. CeeDee Lamb left the game Sunday, was in the concussion protocol. Obviously, he has to clear several steps of the concussion protocol before he can be cleared to play Thursday. But a good indication, he was in team meetings yesterday. That indicates that he's making some progress through the protocol already. Question is whether he has enough time to do it. Amari Cooper going to miss another game because he's an unvaccinated player and has to be out 10 days after testing positive. Tyron Smith, that felt like he almost could have gone Sunday, but they decided to take the big picture approach and with three games in 12 days, and they feel good about his chances for Thursday. I don't think you'll see DeMarcus Lawrence this week. It's not out of the question, but it sounds like he's making good progress and will be back soon.
All right, so you see the Cowboys have a variety of injury issues that they're working their way through. They also had some play-calling question marks over the weekend, and their head coach Mike McCarthy said this yesterday after his team failed to score a touchdown in Kansas City.
I mean, I think the biggest thing coming out of the game offensively is, you know, just getting into the rhythm of the run game earlier. I think obviously would have led into more production, particularly in the protection part of it. So I think the fact that we didn't establish the line of scrimmage consistently just, you know, factored in some big plays for their defense.
All right, and so let me bring my beloved Cowboy into the conversation. Marcus, we certainly talked about this a lot yesterday. Troy Aikman talked a lot about it on the broadcast during the game. What did you think of the way they ran or did not run the football Sunday?
Very, very, very frustrating, G. And it's because, look, man, the bottom line is running the football in the NFL can be the great equalizer. It can literally bring you up to a level when a team is better than you. I've seen it happen. I've been on the other side of the line of scrimmage when we've had more talent than the team and they started to have success running the football, and you could start to feel that build. And me and Jeff Saturday come from an age in football where if you can't run it, you can't win. And that's really what it boils down to. And with all of the things that were happening with Dallas as far as injuries, guys not being available, I was just shocked that you didn't go back and lean on something that you've had a tremendous amount of success with. They talked about Spags, the defense coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, bringing more guys to the box, blitzing, run blitzing. You know how you stop people from run blitzing? And I'll let Jeff Saturday tell you about this more. You run it right at them. That's how you stop people from run blitzing. So, look, man, the game plan was bad, and I said it on Twitter. Kellen Moore failed Dallas football team. And that doesn't mean it's all-encompassing. Yes, Dak could have played better. Yes, there were drops by the wide receivers. But ultimately, as a coach, you got to look out there on the field and say, our best players are in the backfield right now. One of our calling cards has been the offensive line. We don't have Tyron Smith. Running the football will help us either get out of this rut or let's see if it can help us get to a point where we can manufacture yards. And they never went to it. They just kept dropping back, and Chris Jones kept banging his head on Dak Prescott's helmet.
Jeff, this is the most frustrating thing I saw all weekend is when you make yourself one-dimensional purposefully, it makes absolutely no sense. And especially when you're talking about Ezekiel Elliott and Pollard and their ability to make big plays. Listen, they were averaging 5 yards a carry, and they're not getting calls. And Dan's going to give me, because they had a big 30-yard. Guess what?
You understand when averages work?
When they led the league in rushing and had 167 yards a game, they're 6-0. Let me tell you how you get big runs, Dan. You call more. You know how you can't happen? When you don't call them. You know a great example of this? The Philadelphia Eagles. You know how many 10-plus runs they had last week? 7. You know why? Because they keep calling runs. You know how you get no runs and no production? You don't call it. You think you're going to drop back and throw it 50 times and go beat it. And let me tell you something. I say it all the time. I'm going to say it again. I got a scheme that can beat your scheme or at least make a stalemate with your scheme. You know what you have no answer for? When I punch you on the face and your friends got to pull me off.
Period.
That's what the Dallas Cowboys should be doing. Go jump on them. Do not stop until they bring all 11 guys in the box and then let go Dak be beautiful. But, man, at some point, be physical.
You know what was confusing to me, Dan? Because I remember the beginning of this season.
Testosterone level of this conversation.
We got to get Jeff Saturday excited. I get him talking about running the football. But at the beginning of the season, I recall you and me, and I think it was Ryan Clark, we were talking about, are the Cowboys going to get too pass happy? And then they started running the ball like crazy. They ran it very effectively for wins early in the season, and we were lauding Mike McCarthy for kind of learning from his past mistakes because he never ran the ball in Green Bay. So that's why I found this so confusing.
Well, it is Kellen Moore calling the offense, right? It's not Mike McCarthy. So obviously McCarthy could he could have gone. He's the head coach. He could tell Kellen Moore what he wants to do and he has to do it. But look, I think, you know, to the point we were making earlier, we were talking coming off the Tampa Bay Open.
Right.
And they hadn't run much, and you can't run on Tampa Bay.
Right.
So they had a pass-heavy game plan design. Chiefs have been playing pretty good run defense the last few weeks. It's possible that Dallas went in there and made a game plan designed to take advantage of other things. People make mistakes. I think that's what McCarthy's standing there saying.
Right.
We did the wrong thing. We did it wrong. I would expect to see them running the ball, especially if Ezekiel Elliott can get fully healthy. He left that game for a while, part of it. I would expect to see him running.
This is my problem with what McCarthy did, is this was not a blowout. This wasn't a track meet that you have to go through.
Yes.
So you could have made that adjustment.
Yes.
That's what we call about this is your job.
Absolutely.
As the head coach, is make that adjustment in the third quarter, right? Hey, man, you know what? We didn't hit on all cylinders. Let's make a change.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have, is that don't come tell me on Monday and Tuesday, man. Tell me in the second half.
Marcus, give me a quick
and
final
Jeff,
thought.
To your point.
Yeah.
To your point, there's simplicity in what we're saying. Look, we were talking about the Buffalo Bills and how good they were defending the run. We saw what happened against Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you about the example I just tried to give about the equalizer in the game. I would challenge everybody. Go back and watch the Houston Texans play against the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And ask yourself, did the run game and Tyrod Taylor legs help equalize a deficiency in talent against a football team?
That's a great point.
It works, bro. It works. It has worked since the beginning of time. It still works. Run the damn ball.
Yeah. We'll see if they do it on Thanksgiving against the Raiders. Meanwhile, coming up later today on ESPN, we got basketball coming your way. In Maui, we got Wisconsin taking on Houston at 5 Eastern, then Oregon St. Mary's, and then the nightcap is special. We got 1 versus 2. And we got Dick Vitale behind the mic for the first time since he was diagnosed with lymphoma. That should be a great night of college hoops here on ESPN. Meanwhile, our morning will continue. First Take coming up next. Did LeBron deserve his suspension? Was that a dirty play from him? Plus, are the Cowboys still the Super Bowl team? Stephen A., Molly, and Keyshawn talking about that and more. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.